Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Wednesday, February 24th. Hope wherever you are and that wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your day. And it's been an exciting week when it comes to the NBA. We're going to have plenty of that to talk about, discussing the NBA All-Stars and the All-Star Reserves and a few snubs that certainly hit home to the heart here in Memphis. That'll be our first segment today. In the second segment, we're going to talk about some updated odds for the NBA Southwestern Division, released by one of our great title sponsors, BetOnline.ag. We'll talk about the kind of the outlook that's there for the NBA Southwest Division. And in the third segment, we're going to talk about how with this two-day stretch that the Grizzlies have had off after a very tiring stretch of games over the past 10 days, we're going to talk about a few ways in which the Grizzlies can get back committing to what works for them as they have a pretty tough schedule to round out the first half of the season. So a great episode for you today. As always, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you may choose to listen to your podcast. We ask that you listen, subscribe, review, let us know what you think of the show. You can find Locked On Grizzlies anywhere you choose to listen. Gotten some great feedback. Thank you for the wonderful feedback over the past few months. I definitely hope that I am making the Locked On Grizzlies podcast a consistent part of your day, giving you some great content. The biggest reason why I do this is the joy that I have in sharing passions, the Grizzlies, the NBA, sports in general, with others, and that leading to good content and conversation. But we'll jump right into the show. Before we do that, I want to remind you of our title sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up in this episode. But before we get to that, do want to talk about the NBA All-Star, you know, reserves. And it came out yesterday about the NBA All-Stars. And, you know, there was a bit of speculation, you know, especially in the Eastern Conference as to who would be on the NBA All-Star teams. And I think overall, you know, though there were, you know, a few, you know, disappointments, I do think overall that they did well in naming the All-Star teams. I mean, you know, there were a few players out East who I felt had an argument, Domantas Sabonis, Trae Young, other names such as that. But overall, I do think that the NBA got it right. But of course, here at home, there were a few names in the conversation who, though statistically, they did not have the same resumes, I feel, as others, you know, especially when it came to the Western Conference reserves. There were a few names here that I certainly do think should have been in the conversation at least to some point, and though they may not have had the resumes, they did have other things that were in their favor. And of course, I'm talking about Ja Morant and Mike Conley. Now, with Ja Morant, the resume that I'm talking about is, yes, I know he didn't deserve to be in the All-Star game this year. Let's just get that point out there. He has struggled at times this year. He has been injured. The Grizzlies right now are out of the playoff picture. So several factors such as that did not make him have a strong argument. I do think, though, that because of the brand that he has, as well as what he's meant to this team in keeping them at least on the fringe of the playoff picture when he's played, considering how many injuries the Grizzlies have dealt with, there certainly could have been a case made. If you want to talk about a player who not only has played, you know, individually, he's not played at an all-star level, but with how much he's helped elevate this offense, how much he's made this offense more competitive when he's on the court versus when he's off, I do think that Ja Morant can stack up against a lot of other people, a lot of other all-stars that are that made the team this year. So while we didn't have an overall argument that, you know, really was that strong, I do think that Ja Morant was at least in the conversation. But to me, the other name, though he plays for the Jazz now, the other name that I was a bit disappointed not to see on the initial roster was Mike Conley. Now, I think that one thing that kind of hurts Conley on his resume is that even compared to Morant, Conley's having the better individual year right now, but even compared to Morant, you know, the quantity of his numbers is certainly not as strong as other players that did not make the team, like a Devin Booker, for instance, or a Brandon Ingram, for instance. But Conley is playing the best basketball of his career. You know, we've always talked about the 2016-2017 year that Mike Conley played here in Memphis being the best offensive, you know, year of his career. His numbers this year, quantity-wise, are not as high as they were that year, but the quality of his game, field goal percentages, his quality added from three, the way he's setting up his teammates, his offensive rating, things such as that, that certainly is at higher levels. And also, he is playing a big role on right now the best team in the NBA. So those are certainly narratives there that I think should have helped Conley's case. Whether or not you want to sit there and say, okay, well, they're not based off Conley individually, and also they may be because of other players. I get that. But I do think that Conley should have a strong argument, especially if Anthony Davis were to not make the All-Star team due to being no injury reserve. Now, it's going to be a hard case to make, because when you look at Devin Booker, you can't take anything away from Devin Booker. And I know LeBron James tweeted about it, and I know Memphis may not be the best fan of Booker, but it's not because LeBron James tweeted about it that I think Booker deserves to make the All-Star game. It's clearly because he has shown an overall improvement with his game. It's amazing to realize that Booker is still 24 years and 4 months old, and with the consistent production that he's had over the past 5 years, and the quality of his game has certainly improved. So if Devin Booker winds up getting that final spot over a Brandon Ingram and others to replace AD, I certainly get it. But I know this narrative doesn't have to deal with this year, but damn it, I do think that it has a place when it comes to Mike Conley, and it should matter. Mike Conley has played at an all-star level before in his career. Did he deserve to make it over players in those specific years with how deep the Western Conference is? Probably not. But when you have him playing arguably the best basketball of his career, when you have how much he's contributing to a surprise team when it comes to a team unexpectedly having the best record in the NBA, and to be honest with you, when you come to consider the fact that this probably is going to be the last time Mike Conley is really going to have this strong of an all-star chance with the influx of point guard talent that's emerging right now in the Western Conference, I think those things should matter. At the very least, I get Devin Booker deserves it, and I don't feel it should be taken away from him if everybody truly believes that it's just without a doubt his to take. But when you look at Mike Conley, you look at the individual production he's shown this year playing the best basketball of his career, how he's contributed to the Jazz's success, and just overall the type of professional and player that he's been, and how he's been on the cusp of being an all-star but never has been able to get over that line to being an actual all-star, I think that that's worth him getting consideration this year. I get he's a Utah Jazz. That this is a Grizzlies podcast, and I get that how I usually approach things through honesty and statistics. It's hard to argue against the numbers, and then also maintaining the fact that we should consider this year only. I'm speaking from passion here. I think Mike Conley deserves it. I think that when it comes to Devin Booker, Ja Morant, and others, they're going to have plenty of opportunities in the future, and I think that Ja is going to be, at the very least, a multiple-time All-Star Game starter when it comes to the career trajectory that he has. I would be more than happy if Ja Morant were to earn an All-Star nod this year, because I think that there is a case to say that he has earned it. But when you consider everything in place, and when you consider the fact that it's just, it's worth it for a guy like Mike Conley to honor his career. I'm not saying you do anything just because of that. I'm just saying that if you, with the case that he has, with at the very least the respectable case that he has with his production this year, I think that the other things I have mentioned should certainly give him the boost. So I would love to see him be able to get that nod. At the end of the day, when it comes to Ja, Brandon Ingram, Devin Booker, Mike Conley, I think that it is going to be Devin Booker who gets that injury replacement, and I think he is more than deserving. But I will say, as a person that has cheered for this Grizzlies team ever since they've been in Memphis, I know that he's no longer a Memphis Grizzly, but as any of us will say, he will always be a Memphis Grizzly in our heart. I truly feel, and I hope, that here over the next week or so, we get to enjoy the moment when he does get that nod. It'll certainly be a wonderful moment if it does happen. Even if it doesn't, it's fine. I'm glad that he's having the success that he has, and I am hoping like crazy that it leads to the potential for him to play for a championship with the Jazz. It just would be a nice turn of events if Mike Conley finally got that All-Star nod that his recent comments of his has shown he truly would love to experience him, to experience himself. Hopefully it's in the cards, but if it's not, at the very least, what a great season from him. What an awesome opportunity it is for less than 2 years after we traded him, for he himself to still be in the All-Star conversation, and for the replacement that we got for him to be in the All-Star conversation as well. A huge compliment to both Mike Conley and Ja Morant. So certainly hoping that Mike Conley gets his compliment to be in the NBA All-Star game. But a compliment I have for Ja Morant, though he may not be, you know, clearly in the All-Star conversation this year, one thing that he has earned is he's earned our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Yes, Kyle Anderson was that last week. Well, this week it is Ja Morant. Ja Morant over the past six games, eight days for the Grizzlies, 20 points per game, 8 assists, 46% shooting from the field. But beyond the stats, beyond the consistent offensive presence that he shows, it's the joy that he plays with, the joy that he has playing the game of basketball, helping this Grizzlies team win, and helping his teammates succeed. And that creates happiness for everybody in the franchise, seeing how well Ja plays, seeing how well he contributes, but he doesn't care about stats. The joy and happiness that Ja plays with and that others play with around him is because they know that they're a part of the system that allows for them to love playing together and love how they play and allow for them to improve on their ability to play on a consistent basis. And overall, one of the biggest compliments people give to Ja Morant is the enjoyment that he creates through his teammates for playing with him. That's a reason why the Grizzlies continue to exceed expectations, and it's a big reason why this Grizzlies team is so fun to watch a lot of the times. And it's also a reason why this Grizzlies team can certainly answer the question, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? It's certainly the latter when it comes to the Grizzlies. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. For you to get to where you truly want to get, you've also got to be able to enjoy how you got there, and that's certainly a trait of this Grizzlies team. And I can tell you this, if you enjoy watching how the Grizzlies are getting to their end destination and how they play, you can add to that enjoyment with a nice crisp glass of Michelob Ultra. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. And for you to have the most successful opportunity to be a fan of the Grizzlies, enjoy a nice cold Michelob Ultra anytime you get to watch the Grizzlies play. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Tiger Woods hospitalized after a car crash early Tuesday morning. Host Peter Bukowski gives you the latest details. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up tomorrow, it was announced that the second half schedule will be coming up. It will be released today at 2 p.m. Central. On tomorrow's episode, we will have all the reactions to the schedule. What stands out is some potential, you know, very intriguing matchups. How much will the Grizzlies' postponements during the month of January impact their schedule and create hard stretches for them to overcome in order to make the playoffs? Where are some very tough stretches? Where are potential areas for the Grizzlies to get on that needed winning streak they'll likely need to really emerge in that playoff picture? We'll have all of that, plus looking at the upcoming back-to-back schedule to end this week with the Los Angeles Clippers, one of the best teams of the NBA. It would be wonderful if the Grizzlies could somehow get a split. It's going to be great that it's going to be at home, but the Grizzlies really are going to have to get focused on finding a way to get a split. So we'll talk all about the schedule, much of which will be on the road tomorrow, or the second half schedule, which much of it will be on the road. We'll have that in tomorrow's episode, as well as breaking down all that there is to do when it comes to the upcoming back-to-back series with the Los Angeles Clippers. Another fun development that did come up when it comes to yesterday, besides the All-Star reserves, it was the details of new released odds from one of our title sponsors, BetOnline.ag, when it comes to the Western Conference playoff odds. Now, when it comes to the Western Conference playoff odds, the Southwestern Division, the odds that are out there as far as the Southwestern Division goes right now. Currently, you have the San Antonio Spurs, who are leading the division, and then right behind them, close neck and neck, is the Dallas Mavericks and Memphis Grizzlies. Right behind them is the New Orleans Pelicans, and of course, the Houston Rockets are bringing up the rear. Now, it seems pretty obvious that the Houston Rockets, you know, despite their strong play, they had a very good stretch of play earlier this month, going from January into February, but they have fallen off a bit. A big reason why, obviously, is because of the loss of Christian Wood. It was great to see them as a surprise, but you can clearly see that they're starting to kind of, you know, reacclimate themselves to the new roster that they have, kind of recollaborate what their focus is. It seems like they truly are going to use this year, just kind of play it out, regroup in the offseason, and move forward. So it seems as if they certainly are building for the future, and this is a start of a rebuild for them. However, all of the other teams that are in the conversation, I feel, at the very least when it comes to the teams themselves, they clearly are focused on the playoffs. Now, It's the way that you break it down as far as the other four teams, the Spurs, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Grizzlies. I can say it like this. Right now, I think the Spurs, they've not necessarily been a surprise, but I think that they have exceeded expectations. I think that you could clearly say that coming into this season, many thought that the Spurs would probably be there as third or fourth in the division, probably behind the Pelicans and the Mavericks. But the Spurs have been playing well. DeMar DeRozan has been playing extremely well, and they've seen a lot of development from their young talents, such as Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, and others. So the Spurs being where they are in the Western Conference standings, I believe they're six right now, but also winning the division is certainly a development, and I think that it is harder to say. A month ago, I would have said that I think that the Spurs are going to fall off a bit, and that once the Grizzlies got healthy, or if the Mavericks or Pelicans were to make their expected run at some point, it was going to see the Spurs falling off. I don't think that's as easy to say now. I do think, and these odds that we're going to get to in just a moment seem to indicate that, I do think eventually the Mavericks or the Pelicans are going to find their groove, and then from there, they may be able to challenge the Spurs when it comes to the Southwestern Division title. But right now, you've got to give credit to the Spurs. I think that they clearly are in the playoff picture. At the very least, they will be in the play-in game scenario, and I think that they certainly have positioned themselves to be in that playoff picture. They have a much more likely case to be there at the end of the season than they thought they would a month ago. But the odds themselves that have been released for the rest of the season, again from our title sponsor, BetOnline.ag, read is this. The Dallas Mavericks are at a plus 110. The San Antonio Spurs are at a plus 195. The New Memphis Grizzlies are at a plus 600. The New Orleans Pelicans at a plus 800. And the Houston Rockets are at a plus 2,500. So that reads, that's pretty logical when it comes to this division right now. You've got the Spurs in front, the Grizzlies and Mavericks kind of neck and neck a few games behind, and then the Pelicans and the Rockets. But what does that tell us about the Grizzlies? Well, first off, it tells us that I don't think that the Spurs are going to fall off, like I just mentioned, like I thought they would a year ago. Or a month ago. They're going to be there the entire season as a threat to win the division. I also think that with the Mavericks' recent stretch of play, especially the fact that they had two back-to-back wins over the past few nights against the Mavericks and the Celtics, that truly is an indication. That is a good spot for them to really get on that streak that they need to get on to be able to emerge once again as the favorite in this division. And I also think that the Mavericks of any team, of any of these teams in the Southwest Division, I think the Mavericks probably have the most reason to make a move at the trade deadline to really boost their playoff chances. So I think that the Mavericks, the reason why they're favored is right now they're playing better basketball than the Grizzlies. They also have more reason to make a move to enhance their team, to have a chance at making the playoffs this year. And I just think that they are more of on a roll right now to get it done. So several of those factors come into play. The Grizzlies right now are in third. They're favored to be third in the Southwest Division. I think, as I mentioned over the past few days, I feel like the Grizzlies, who right now I believe are in 10th when it comes to, they're in that final slot. They're in that second play-in slot, the final team in the conference to have a chance at the playoffs. I think that that's likely going to be the Grizzlies' ceiling going forward. And the reason why that is because at this point, especially when you're considering how they're struggling right now, especially defending the three, also considering that we're still trying to get everybody back from injury, though we're hoping Jaren Jackson Jr. will be there in time. But another reason why I think that it's kind of going to be hard for the Grizzlies to get above that play-in game, I think the reason why it is because the Grizzlies also have a very, very tough schedule. They're going to be more impacted, I think, by their schedule in the second half than other teams are. Again, you don't want to make fatigue an excuse, but I do also think it's flawed not to recognize its existence, and that's certainly going to be there for this Grizzlies team. There's going to be some schedule losses. There's going to be some tough matchups. There's going to be more congested areas, back-to-back games, things such as that. There's also going to be nights where we rest, folks. It's going to be hard for us to be able to get through this second half and be able to be on the same level of other teams that are starting to win. So it comes back to the point that I made a few days ago, where I think that if the Grizzlies are truly and solidly going to entrench themselves in a play-in game, or you know, even in a playoff discussion, being in the top eight of the Western Conference, or even in the play-in game, the Grizzlies are going to have another stretch this year where they have another 6-7 game winning streak, or they win 8 out of 10 games, or something along those lines, for them to truly have the chance to not only be in the play-in discussion or the playoff discussion, but to win their division. And I think that that's what these odds show. They do show that the Grizzlies are in third place, but they also show that they're significantly off the expected pace that the Mavericks are supposed to pick up and that the Spurs are supposed to maintain going forward. Yes, getting our players back, getting them back into gameplay, getting them back into, you know, chemistry and the comfort of playing with each other, especially when we get Jaren Jackson Jr. back, that certainly is going to be a boost to the Grizzlies. But unless the Grizzlies can quickly figure out how to once again defend the three, or if the Grizzlies, and considering the Grizzlies' tough schedule coming up, I do think that it is going to be hard for Memphis to really make the needed progression that it needs to solidly be in the playoff conversation. I think the only way they're going to be able to do that is to change their fortunes, to get on another stretch of success where they are playing 800 to 900 basketball over a 10-game stretch at some point this season. And it may not seem like it's that hard for a team that is right now only one game under 500. But when you consider that they're actually 3 games under 500 in the month of February and that the defense has significantly fallen off, the only way they're going to be able to get to doing that is if they see a significant improvement in their defensive approach. They certainly have the capability to do that, but until they do, it's going to be hard to really trust the Grizzlies' chances of winning the Southwest Division or truly having a solid chance to put themselves in a position to make the playoffs. I hope they do, and I think they certainly have the capability to do it, and it's not going to surprise anyone if they do make the adjustments to have a needed two or three week stretch of significant winning. I just think that the need for that has certainly grown over the past 2 weeks from where it was right after we came back from the pause in the season. Due to how other teams are playing, due to our struggles, I think that it's going to be essential for the Grizzlies to have a 2 or 3 week stretch where they play 800 to 900 basketball. And while it wouldn't be surprising to see that, I do think that it's a tough ask unless significant adjustments in our gameplay is made, and also with the upcoming schedule that we have. So I certainly think at the end of the day, we are going to remain in at least a play-in discussion, but for us to fully feel certain that we're going to have a chance to make the playoffs at the end of the season, it's going to take that significant stretch of winning, and that's going to take a few adjustments as far as our game focus goes, as well as how we handle a tough stretch of the season coming up. Well, one thing I can tell you, though, there are two areas that even if we continue to struggle from three, there are two areas where the Grizzlies are really excelling and have created an identity for themselves that is allowing for them to stay competitive and get wins when they need them at times so far this season. Coming up, I'll discuss those two areas. I wrote about it over at Grizzly Bear Blues. We're going to get a little deeper into the conversation as to why I think the Grizzlies, by embracing the preferences of their coach, it really has allowed for this roster, even with out many of its best talents for stretches of this season, it has allowed for this roster overall to progress noticeably and in a very encouraging way for the future. Before we get into two things that I think the Grizzlies can do to make their play better going forward, I can tell you another thing that I have repeatedly referenced to when it comes to making your day better going forward, when it comes to just making small but significant steps to add health benefits to your day, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. The great addition to your day that's very versatile. Have it in the morning for breakfast, an afternoon as a snack, before or after a workout. Whenever you choose to enjoy it, it's going to be beneficial for you. Number one, it's a great taste. Number two, it's got great health benefits as well. If you go to BuiltBar.com, you're also going to be able to likely find a taste that meets your preferences. 18 different flavors to choose from, and they're always redoing the taste to try to make it as much variety as possible so that many people as possible have multiple options of great taste that they can enjoy. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can also get 20% off your next order of Built Bar using the promo code LOCKED ON. But I can tell you this, the moment that you add Built Bar to your day, it's going to be a part of it that's going to be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com right now, put in the promo code LOCKED ON to get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. March Madness is just weeks away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Cord's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has the first Big Board of the Year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Want to give a big thank you to both Brian Zillum and Lauren Gunn of the Blue Hardwood Podcast, who were great guests on our show from Monday talking about the Dallas Mavericks. Though the game versus the Mavericks was on Monday, I would highly suggest being able to listen to that podcast and enjoy it because it's got great perspective on one of the Grizzlies' bigger rivals, not only in the Southwest Division, but the West Coast, another team that's right on the timeline of the Grizzlies. We discuss, you know, their seasons, the Grizzlies and the Mavericks' season so far, as well as the next steps for each franchise to take. And also yesterday, Connor Denning, just a wonderful breakdown of the Grizzlies season so far. Young Corzine and Taylor Jenkins with Connor Denning, one of the best content creators out there in Memphis right now. Wonderful, wonderful friend of the show and mine personally. Great time being able to talk with him and great content as well. So check out some wonderful episodes we've had so far this week, as well as tomorrow when we do our schedule breakdown. Once again, do want to remind you that the NBA's second half schedule comes out at 2 p.m. today. I think the Grizzlies are one of the teams who are most anticipating that schedule release because they have the most games on the second half schedule due to all the postponements that came in January. 23 of those remaining 40 games are also going to be on the road, so it's really going to be interesting to see how the dominoes fall in place as far as the Grizzlies' schedule. We're going to break all that down, plus get into how the Grizzlies can find some success against the Clippers on back-to-back games to end this week. Well, two ways that the Grizzlies can certainly find success is doing the two things that they are most productive at, and honestly, are currently the most productive at in the NBA, at least as of Monday, when it comes to the Grizzlies' play in terms of opportunistic defense and passing the ball. Over at Grizzly Bear Blues on Monday, I wrote about how the Grizzlies are, they made themselves an identity as a team that passes the ball with opportunistic defense, but now they may need to make both an institution because both areas of production just really allow for the Grizzlies not only to win, but also to feature the additional strengths that this team has to offer. For instance, now this was before Monday night, Taylor Jenkins had coached 99 games before Monday. And in those 99 games, when it comes to the production of the Grizzlies, two of the most indicative stats, when it comes to whether or not the Grizzlies are going to win or lose, a lot that there was strong correlation with the Grizzlies' chances of winning and their chances of losing. There was a strong correlation with getting 10 or more steals per game while also getting 27 or more assists per game. Let's focus on the steals. In 99 games in which the Grizzlies had played under Taylor Jenkins before Monday night's game, in 35 of those games, they had gotten 10 or more steals since Taylor Jenkins took over as coach. In the 35 games they'd gotten 10 or more steals, the Grizzlies were 21-14. In the 64 games that they did not get those steals, they were 25-39. So a big indication of whether or not the Grizzlies can win on a nightly basis is if they get double-digit steal numbers in order for them to have success. Now, when it comes to assists, the difference the difference in chances of winning or losing is even bigger. Since Taylor Jenkins took over as the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies back at the beginning of the 2019-2020 season, the Grizzlies have produced 27 or more assists 56 times. That leads the NBA. But more importantly, it's a big indicator as to whether or not the Grizzlies are going to win. In the 56 games that the Grizzlies have had 27 or more assists in Taylor Jenkins' first 99 games, and they didn't have that. They only had 17 assists Monday night. They are now 35-21 when they get 27 or more assists under Taylor Jenkins. When they don't, they're 12-32. That is a 34-game swing. The Grizzlies are 14 games above 500 when they get 27 or more assists. They are 20 games under 500 when they get 26 or less assists. That is a huge swing, and it's a huge indication of just how important effective passing is to this Grizzlies team, and it's simple to know why. This Grizzlies team is not one of the more talented teams in the league when it comes to creating their own shot. Either the guys that can create their own shot just are not that good shooting from distance in terms of Dillon Brooks and Ja Morant, or the guys that we have that can shoot well from distance are mainly, they mainly do that through catch and shoot opportunities. A lot of the shot creation for the Grizzlies right now is effective in the paint when it comes to self-sufficient shot creation. But for us to be able to complement that with good shooting from distance, it's coming off the shot creation in the paint and then drawing defenses in if we have success for that, and then passing out to the perimeter for open looks. Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen, Kyle Anderson, and others this year, their three-point shooting has been wonderful. But a big reason why it's been wonderful is because of the paint production and the penetration ability of Ja Morant, Grayson Allen, Tyus Jones, and others. Everything complements this focus on the paint, and the Grizzlies' strength in paint production really complements their ability to shoot from distance, as is Coach Taylor Jenkins' preferences. But we have to be able to effectively pass for that to be there at the level we need it to be to compete and win. If we're not passing the ball well, this Grizzlies team is severely hampered when it comes to its offensive production and obviously its ability to win games. That's not a negative. It's just a simple fact. It's with the roster that we have, we've got to be able to pass effectively. That's the reason why the first thing that Taylor Jenkins looks at in the post-game press conferences is how many assists the Grizzlies have per night. Many nights, that's either the first stat or only stat he looks at, because that tells him that if the Grizzlies have passed the ball well and they have a high number of assists, that led to high percentage shots, and it allowed for his offense to do enough to win. So if the Grizzlies are going to really get going back on the right track, they're going to have, besides defending the three, which we've talked about previously, they're going to have to get back to getting close to 30 or more assists tonight. They're going to have to get back in producing double-digit steals and really getting on the run in a part of their game they're so good at, which is in transition. These two abilities of the Grizzlies to steal the ball at a high rate and pass the ball at a high rate are the things that allow for them to do the other strengths of their game so effectively, such as allowing for their strength in the paint to lead to opportunities to shoot on the outside, such as creating turnovers leading to open court fast break opportunities. If the Grizzlies can consistently create turnovers by stealing the ball and pass the ball effectively, that allows other parts of their offense to also perform at high levels, and that's what is needed for this young roster that is still developing and that does not have the best talent in creating their own opportunities. All those different things are minimized if the Grizzlies are both stealing the ball and passing the ball well. And that's why Coach Taylor Jenkins has put such a big emphasis on it. That's why this team is so committed to those activities. You can see it through how much they pass, how much they deflect, all those different things. And all these things together, how good they do it, how convinced they are that it's essential to their success, and how passionate this roster is at doing the things they need to do to win, those three reasons are the main reason why leading the league in these two categories is also sustainable, because the Grizzlies' activity, their focus, and everything else is consistently there to do both stealing the ball and passing the ball at a high level. So it's awesome to see that this team already has essential traits about it. It's awesome to see an identity being created. That identity will eventually become an institution. And as we get better talent in place, that will allow for us to consistently be able to not only be in the playoffs, but also have playoff success. When the Grizzlies have 10 or more steals and 27 or more assists in a game under Taylor Jenkins, they are 17-5. But more importantly, over the past 10 years, whenever a team has been in the top five of the league in both steals and assists in a given year, of those 10 teams, 8 made the playoffs, 6 advanced in the playoffs. So if a team is talented enough to make the playoffs, but two strengths of that team are both creating turnovers through steals and passing the basketball, that typically is a good formula that can lead to postseason success, and that certainly is an encouraging sign for this Grizzlies team, who has every means to be a playoff contender now and for the next 10 to 15 years. If they can keep the traits up of opportunistic defense and effective passing, that's only going to enhance their ability to get where they want to go as the roster continues to get better. You've made my day better by allowing for me to once again bring you great content here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, tomorrow we will have a full breakdown of the schedule, as well as talk about some different things to look for in the back-to-back series against the Clippers to end the week. Can't thank you enough for spending time of your day with us. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Until next time, hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.